This is More Financial Talk with Ryan Moore from Retirement Solutions Group. You need a financial strategy that accounts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of More Financial Talk is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Welcome to More Financial Talk. I'm Ryan Moore, and with me today is co-host Tony Shore. How you doing there, Tony?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. I've had a great week. I'm excited about today's show because, wow, there's a lot going on out there in the financial world, in the markets, geopolitical actions, oil. I can't wait to get into it with our special guest today. But first, Ryan, how have you been? You've been busy, haven't you?
Yeah, been busy as always, but just came back from a little time off. I was out in Montana, which I'd never been out there before. So it was awesome. Did a little e-biking and hiking and fishing. And we went from like 75 and 80 degrees and then 2 days later to getting snow. So I got the full spectrum of the weather. But it was beautiful. Got to exhale a little bit.
Nice.
And back at it. So, but yeah, things are good.
Were you in Bozeman or where were you?
No, it was a place called Kalispell or Glacier Park.
Nice.
Whitefish Lake. So very pretty area. A little bit of a stretch to get out there. Had to roll through your neck of the woods to connect through Minneapolis. So
sure.
Hang out in the mall of an airport that you guys have for layover.
It's huge, isn't it? The stores and stuff. Yeah, it's one of the better airports if you have to spend time in it. So
yeah, for sure. So, but it was a good break, and it was actually with a church group of guys, which was great. And my wife is actually heading out to the same spot with the ladies from church next week. So. Taking our turns and
so a men's retreat and then a women's retreat. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Great. Well, Glacier's great. My wife used to work there summers during her college years. She would work out in Glacier National Park in that area, Kalispell. So that's awesome. Well, hey, let's jump in here and introduce our very special guest.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, hey, Keith Gangle, the senior portfolio manager and heads up Gradient Investments. Keith, amazing to have you on the show once again. There's so much going on in the markets. Ryan, the good get. I'm glad you got Keith on the show today.
Yeah, Keith, great to have you back, man. You've got a great mind for this and lots of experience. So we value your insights and grateful to have you here with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's always look forward to chatting with you. And you and I chat all the time anyway, but it's always nice to be on this format as well and kind of let listeners know what we're talking about and kind of the pulse of the markets and kind of a lot of stuff that you guys alluded to going on in the markets. So hopefully we can kind of put out some facts and figures and kind of maybe kind of make people feel a little bit better or kind of explain some things that are going on anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. My time is, you know, spent mostly sitting with folks and working on their plans and, you know, talking through their situations where I know that you're a little bit more behind the scenes and you have your nose in the different stocks and charts and, you know, diving into all the analysis and the fundamentals. So we love to bring you on to give us your perspective as we're working through a very interesting year, although I think every year's got their different factors, right?
You're right. Every year, I mean, I've been doing this, you can see by my hairline if you're watching a video, that I've been doing this a long time, over 30 years, and every year it's the same. There's always concerns. I've been doing it over 30 years, and there's never been one year that's been no concerns. This last few years has probably been a little bit more than normal, but again, there's always different things, and it just switches from one thing to another thing. And if you just remember last year when it seems like a long time memory ago was the old tariffs, right? April 2nd, Liberation Day, market selling out pretty. No one even remembers that. It just seems like a distant memory. Now we're, you know, the big news obviously driving markets is Iran conflict and oil. I'm sure we'll get into here shortly, but there's no shortage for concerns. But generally speaking, what we like to do is focus on companies and valuations and earnings and the U.S. consumer. Those are kind of the things that we like to focus on.
Well, and I appreciate you guys for that, because in my opinion, you're in a lot of ways drowning out the noise and really looking at the fundamentals, which is what drives the markets. And it's easy to get caught up in the commotion of everything, especially with the way the news outlets are these days. I feel like that's part of their job is to disturb, to keep you tuning in. So therefore we rely on you to sift through the commotion and the noise and bring us, you know, the facts. So we thank you for that.
Yeah, no, it's certainly an interesting time, you know, when I'm on this show, other shows, we're talking the markets, people are referring to the S&P 500 and there's been a lot of volatility, right? I mean, which is nice, you know, with clients that work with you, you have a well-diversified plan, you lay out and kind of, you know, the reason it's important to work with, you know, yourself is that people get nervous, right? There's a lot of media left and right. And it's just like they're constantly trying to, you know, make people feel uneasy and kind of make them tune in. I think the fear factor kicks up on both sides, which, again, what we want to do is focus on company fundamentals. And that same thing you do with your plans that you have for clients. You're planning out 1, 3, 5, 10 years. Now, it'd be awesome if we came in, you know, January 1 every year and then we knew the markets were going to be up, say, 12%, 1% every year, kind of clip that income thing and just kind of set it and forget it. But life doesn't work that way and markets don't work that way. And I'd probably be out of a job if that was the case as well.
So yeah,
that wouldn't necessarily be good. And again, so when you're, you know, we've seen the volatility. Let's go back to that. So the markets starting out this year, the S&P 500 was at one point in time up 3-4%. March came along. We had the Iran conflict getting kicked off. And then markets get uneasy, investors get uneasy. And what ends up happening? Markets sold off almost 10%, not quite, which is technically a correction. You know, if you sell off down 10%, you're in a correction. It was down a little over 9%, not in correction territory. And what do investors do? Yeah, they get a little bit nervous, but then they ultimately go back to focusing on company fundamentals and kind of macro environment and what's going on. And then we've had a nice bounce. We've gone from down the end of the first quarter, the S&P was down a little over 4%. As of the other day, we were up 5% year to date. So we've almost recovered that whole sell-off and then we're setting new highs as of the other day. So people are like, how is that even possible when all this concern's out there? But the reason it's so possible is because the company fundamentals are really, really strong. I mean, you can hear different things and, you know, what's going on politically, geopolitically, whether you like it, don't like it, but the company fundamentals, corporations' earnings are very strong. And that's kind of what we focus on. And the forecast, just so you know, for this year is for 18-19% earnings growth rate, which is absolutely truly amazing. So that's the one factor, you know, if you listen to this, I would take away is corporate earnings are very, very strong. Normally a good year is 5-7. That's kind of that average. Yeah. So last year we ended up at like 11%, which is a very good year. And what investors do is look at forward earnings growth rate. And that's why last year was a good year. This year we're going from 11% to 18-19%. I think that's a little too high, especially if prices of oil, we'll talk about here shortly, stay as where they're at. I think that needs to come down a little bit. But that being said, if you're doing a mid-teens earnings growth rate, that's a great backdrop for stocks. And that's what we got to keep reminding, you know, ourselves. We could keep reminding our clients and advisors that don't take our eye off the ball. If I had to pick one factor after 30 years of looking at markets and I had to pick one thing that kind of drives the overall markets longer term, it's corporate earnings. And right now we're actually in earnings season. So we'll get a lot more. I've told Tony before, it's like getting, if you have kids, it's like when the kids come home with a report card, they're telling you how good it is. And then it's like, well, you tell me you're getting A's and B's. I see a little bit of a C or something on here. So it's time for the companies. They report their earnings and, you know, we'll have to see if they're as good as advertised.
Sure.
Yeah. With all the volatility, it does seem like we've experienced a pretty classic V-shaped recovery. Basically, it seemed for a bit there as oil prices were up, stocks were down, but oil's still elevated and we still get that. We still got that bounce back. So how do you view that at this point with, you know, oil being above $100 a barrel, you know, as the market priced that in, as things, you know, just sort of solidified in that regard, or how do you foresee the oil factor going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I laid the backdrop of, you know, I'm fairly positive going this year and nothing's changed other than the price of oil. So going into this year, price of oil, the WTI, which is it's about $65 a barrel of oil. And just like you alluded to right now, we're above 100 again recently. And if you go back a few weeks, we spiked to 120, dropped down to low 80s. Now we're back on the increase. I do think the markets, that is something we have to be aware of because that is a tax on consumers. Consumers drive 70% of GDP. So you have to be very thoughtful where the price of oil is going to be. What investors are telling you, what the stock market is telling you right now is the price of oil is not going to stay above 100 in the back half of the year. It's going to be more like that. You know, I don't think it's going to 65. Don't get me wrong. That was a bull case I was talking about at the beginning of the year that was kind of underappreciated as a tailwind for the markets. That's certainly that my argument for being a bull market, that's gone away. Now I think if we can get oil back into that $75 to $80, $85, I think that's kind of normal. North of $85, $90, that becomes a tax on consumers. That becomes a headwind. That those 18, 90% earnings I talked about earlier, those are going to come down, right? Because they're driven by 70% of our GDP is driven by consumers. And everybody knows, you know, you guys in Tennessee and us in Minnesota that, you know, if you're driving for work or you're getting any goods, you know, these microphones that we're on, all these resins, the plastics, that has oil inputs. So if oil stays at 90 plus, that kind of for me is a flashing yellow light. I think 90s, we can do okay. I think earnings will still be fine. I think if you stay a significant amount of time above 100, that will be an issue. But you can, it's funny that you mentioned that oil recent last few days has gone from 90 to 105 as of, you know, what we're talking here. And it's a pretty big move in a couple of days. But the market is kind of flat. It's not selling off. Before you go back a few weeks, it was oil was down, markets were up. Oil was up, markets were down, right?
That's right.
And I think what right now everybody's kind of believing, now that could change, right? I
mean, everything's holding steady right now.
Yeah, everything's holding steady because they believe this is a short-term noise, right? That you talked about looking at the signal through the noise, and that's kind of what we're trying to do. But don't get me wrong, if oil stays above 100 for several months here, I think people will have to kind of dial back their expectations, and that will become a little bit of a headwind for the market. So certainly would, you know, something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. So with oil, you know, dictating the price of goods in a lot of ways because of shipping and just how everything's made, you know, that can create inflationary concerns. And I know going into the year, one of the potential tailwinds was some additional rate cuts. And so now the odds of additional rate cuts are diminishing because of, you know, the oil factor. So if you want to speak to that a little bit, because that can have an impact on how certain stocks are going to move.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's funny that all these things we talk about are all connected, right? It'd be nice if we could just pick one factor that was driving things, but you're absolutely right. Interest rates, right? One way of looking at interest rates that is pretty a common factor is like the 10-year treasury yield. So that's kind of what the U.S. government will borrow money at, that, you know, and pay. It's around 4.3%, which I think is fine. Now, what you're talking about is the Fed funds rate is where the Federal Reserve, they're actually meeting today. They meet every six weeks to decide what's their Fed fund policy, the rate's going to be going forward. You know, let's give you a little history of where we were. If, you know, if you go back a couple of years, the Fed funds rate was almost at zero. And the reason at zero is because that when Fed funds rate's low, that means borrowing rates are low, which keeps the economy really humming along, right? They're pushing the economy forward. And then we hit in 2022. Tony, you remember what happened in 2022?
Well, everything tanked in 2022.
It was an inflation problem, right? We had high inflation. That was when inflation hit like 9.1% in June of 2022. And so when inflation's high, what the Fed has to do is basically raise this Fed funds rate to actually cool the economy. But that, you know, again, that's also not good for the consumer, right? Because then they're having to borrow at a higher cost. Mortgage rates go up. You do cool the economy, it slows things down. So now you get inflation under control, which I think right now, you know, again, so we're talking interest rates, but it also ties to inflation, which you just kind of touched on is, okay, inflation rates are going up and oil is going to be, that's the other factor. Oil is going to be pushing interest, you know, inflation up as well. So
all
these things are connected.
Yeah. So oil and inflation can be connected. Like you say, if it does stay over $100 a barrel, what you're saying is that could increase inflation. So then therefore the Fed is not going to, not only will they not lower rates.
They could go the other way.
That was, I was getting a long-winded answer to that. So the question is, what is the Fed expectation for this year? Going into this year was for 2 to 3 cuts. Generally speaking, markets, investors like cuts because that makes money easier, makes loans easier, which then drives the consumer, which drives the economy, which drives the stock market, right? It's a big circle. So as you lower rates, that's a tailwind for markets. As you raise those Fed fund rates, that's generally considered a headwind. Right now, they're in the kind of the pause mode. And the question going into this year for investors and consumers was, what's the Fed going to do? expectations for 2 to 3 Fed cuts. That means 50 to 75 basis points less than where they are coming into the year. I'm more in the camp, I think, where the 10-year treasury yield at that 4, 4.25, 4.5. I think that's kind of the long-term normal range. I thought the economy was kind of doing well enough on its own that we didn't need any Fed cuts. And so I was thinking that we should be at 0 to 1. And most investors, again, I was out of consensus there. And most investors wanted that 2 to 3 to kind of drive the stock market, push consumers, because I think consumers are still doing relatively well. So now with this potential oil going up, inflation kind of a little bit, getting pushed up here a little bit, that's now the assumptions that the Fed Reserve is going to cut 0 to 1 times now, not the 2 to 3. So that potentially takes a little bit of a tailwind catalyst away from the markets. But I think that's actually a better thing. I like it when the markets are driven by company fundamentals, which I talked about earlier, those earnings growth rates. Earnings are fine. Now that, interest rates is, dual-edged sword, just kind of like you tell your clients, right? It's, if you're a retiree, do you think you want lower interest rates or higher interest rates? It's probably higher interest rates for your safety, right? If you can go to, your savings rates or your CDs or money markets or your fixed income vehicles, which again, with retirees, they're not no longer generally earning money on their income side of things. So they have their investments, which generally do, if you have interest bearing, higher the interest rates, the more, investment income they have is a good thing. But that being said, now if you went for a mortgage or a car loan or your credit cards, your interest rates are higher. So if you're a borrower, that's not a good thing. So if you're a younger consumer coming out, getting your first job or two, and you have to pay higher interest rates, that's a headwind for the economy. So it's like a balancing act. That's why, but I think we're right now, I think expectations that are for the markets, the Fed not to cut rates, is kind of more in line where I think they should be, which I think is a healthy thing, but it may take a little bit of that kind of potential from the stock market away from it.
So if we were to drill down more specifically, because I know going into the year, things were bullish, the outlook specifically on, small and mid-cap stocks, right? Because rates down, less cost to borrow, which they need typically capital to grow and run their businesses. So things were looking pretty attractive in that space where, those areas and sectors had lagged. So therein lied potential opportunity, but in light of what we're discussing now, how do you view, small and mid-cap stocks?
Yeah, you nailed it there. They are certainly a catalyst for small and mid-cap companies and, just companies starting out in general is lower interest rates. You start your business, it's a lot easier because your borrowing cost is less of a headwind. So now I rates aren't going up. I don't, to flip of it, do I think rates are going, are the Fed going to start raising rates? I don't think that's going to be the case at all. So I think interest rates are kind of where they now, 6 months from now, they're probably going to be pretty similar. I think that's still okay range for small caps. I think that they can still perform well at this rate. The other thing that we didn't talk about, that's the interest rate side of things. So I think it's kind of net neutral for small caps. Now, if the Fed continues to cut, that's definitely a catalyst for those small cap names. Right. If Fed were to raise, that would definitely be a headwind. Currently where we are, I say it's a net neutral. But what's a benefit is the tax bill that got passed last year that, the one big beautiful bill. There's a lot of kind of, accelerated depreciation, R&D, different kind of tax breaks. I think that is definitely a benefit for those small and mid-cap companies. So I do think there's still a catalyst for those names to continue to work.
Great. Well, let's shift a little bit and, looking at another sector, how about international stocks with the impact of everything overseas, all the same kind of, factors we're discussing here. How does the outlook change for international? Because I know that had really been looking pretty attractive, had a very strong year last year, and, an area that it's good to have some exposure, but, we want to be mindful of not being, chasing returns or being overly exposed in any one area. So what are your thoughts on the international sector?
Yeah, you're very thoughtful on that, and you kind of covered it very well. Just caveat before I answer that answer. Again, into my history, I'm a big pro U.S. market kind of guy. I just think over time they've been outperforming international markets, but there's periods where international markets do well. And I think last year, you touched on it, certainly was one of the cases last year. international markets generally, depends on which one you're looking at, we're up, you know, 30% plus. U.S. markets, the S&P was, you know, that 17, 18% return. So quite a bit better. And that's the first time it's been better in multi-years.
A long time, maybe
a decade almost, something like that. But it's it's been quite a few years. But I do think the fundamentals are still in place for the international markets to have an allocation to it, right? You don't want to not be allocated to international markets because I think they can continue to do well this year. Their earnings are starting to improve. Their valuations are reasonable. Although what you did touch on is what's going on with kind of the Middle East, the conflict. The international companies are really kind of financially driven, a lot of pharma and a lot of big industry companies, old industrial kind of companies. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think that old industrial companies need that's, you know, that
Oil.
Yeah.
They need for shipping.
Yep.
For freight. Exactly. For manufacturing. Yep. Yeah.
Tony nailed it. All of them. It was not just the shipping and the freight, but it's actually the manufacturing itself, right? Yeah. That's an input cost. So if the price of oil, which again, it's all these things are all touch each other. It'd be nice if they're separate and you can put them in their little boxes, but it doesn't work that way. And so if the price of oil remains above 100 here, that's certainly an issue for these companies, especially international companies, that would take even more of an issue. I do think, again, the way the stocks are looking and acting, markets tend to price forward, that oil prices will be lower. But if they remain higher, I think that international oil performance will start to wane. But right now, I think oil prices are going to come down. I still think fundamentals remain pretty solid in European, you know, or you're in all international per se, not just, you know, emerging markets as well. I think there's still that ability for those to outperform this year, U.S. markets. So you can have an allocation to international markets, I think is still a decent play. Now, at some point in time, you know, we fast forward 6 months, you know, we're looking at this daily, then we'll let you guys know if our opinion changes there. But, we talked about the back half of last year. We thought that the trend would continue, and it did. And then this first part of this year, it's been international. Even as this headwind of oil going up, international markets, I just looked this morning, were roughly, again, these are different proxies, we're around 9% for the year to date. S&P was 4-5. So it's certainly outperformed here. And I think fundamentally, there's still enough, you know, that you want to have some allocation to international. And then as we go to the end of the year and things maybe play out that way, maybe we want to dial that allocation back to international and look at U.S. markets. I do think, you know, long-term that 3, 5, 10 years, international is going to outperform international markets.
Or U.S. markets outperform international.
Excuse me.
So Keith, just to, because we got kind of a theme here, oil's been kind of the theme. So in your kind of estimation, I hear you saying that you think oil's coming back down, which, you know, ultimately I don't disagree on that. But I guess my question on that is, because once things do adjust and we get to more normalized circumstances, I know it's not a flip of the switch. So what kind of lag can we expect, you know, with, you know, tankers and distribution of oil and all of that getting back online? You know, what kind of a lag effect do we have on all this? Is that something that you can speak to?
Yeah, no, that could certainly last months. And that's why, you know, we have some investments in different portfolios and some energy companies, right? Because I do think fundamentals are going to probably remain pretty robust for those companies for another several quarters. It does take time, even if, say, magically, again, a tweet or some agreement gets ironed out between U.S. and Iran, even if that happened today. Oil prices, the knee-jerk reaction for oil prices will certainly be down. But that being said, their price still not going to drop as much as they could, you know, over the course of a couple quarters. And again, that's the one thing with the geopolitical risk is, and that's why they call it geopolitical risk. I mean, things could go sideways and something happens where, you know, the conflict heats up again, bombs, you know, in different parts of the Middle East and refineries and oil production, which then, to your point, it would take longer to come online, which would increase the price of oil, which would be negative for the consumer, which is negative for corporate earnings, which the stock market wouldn't like. And that's kind of why when oil prices go up, markets don't like it. When it goes down, it's a better place. Now, do I think it's going back to $65 where it started the year, a barrel? No, I think it's going to be higher than that just because of what's happened. But I do think you're right. There's a lag. Even if all of a sudden, say, 2 days from now, a week from now, there's total agreement, everything's over, both parties are happy for what, as happy as can be for what happened, right? I mean, agree on whatever their terms would be. I don't see oil just going back to $65 immediately either.
Right. Well, look, we're so grateful to have you guys, and you specifically, you definitely get into the weeds and the technicals and the analysis of all this. You know, my side of the fence is more on the planning, approach. And with that, and I've said, Tony, you've heard me say this a bunch, but you know, we plan for the worst and we hope for the best. And for that reason, when the worst happens, we have a plan. And I think my clients appreciate that and allows them to have a little bit more peace of mind. When there are some disruptions, which again, as we indicated on the onset of our time, every year we're going to experience some of that. So having a plan is critical, in my opinion, to be able to, you know, have peace about all of this and not be overly consumed with the noise and fear and things of that nature. So combined with the technical and fundamental approach, along with planning and having the right asset allocation, I think that's a way to approach, you know, how to manage your money and do it in a comfortable manner, especially when you're in retirement, when, you know, you don't have the income coming in like you once did. So,
yeah. Yeah. You said it well. It's very important. You know, I'm looking at stuff on a day-to-day basis. When you're planning for your clients, you do a fabulous job of keeping them diversified, keeping them, you know, what's their objectives? What's their risk tolerance? How do we design those that fit your needs? Work with it. And then the markets are volatile. Again, we saw it this last couple of months. We saw that the almost 10% correction, now almost 10% off the bottom. So if your clients are getting nervous, you can pull out the plan and say, here's your plan. This is what we built. This is our expectation. And we didn't build a plan for 2 weeks to say, oh, the markets are selling off. We need to sell assets when people get nervous, generally speaking, and vice versa. When markets are doing really well for multi-years, it's like, okay, let's rebalance here. Let's stay within your risk tolerance score and build a solid plan that you can live with. And kind of, that's why you do such a great job for your clients.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. A lot of hard work goes in on both sides of what we do, but we love what we do. And ultimately, I think it resonates with the relationships that we have with the folks. And, you know, it feels good to be able to play that role in people's lives and ultimately help them sleep well at night. So this has been great, Keith. I thank you once again for joining in.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Yeah. Keith Gangle, a senior portfolio manager for Gradient Investments. Great guest. Thanks, Keith. And before we go, Ryan, let our listeners know if they have questions about what we talked about on the show or need to get a financial plan in place or a retirement income plan in place, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So you can call us direct at area code 615-467-6300. Or email our office at info@rsgtn.com or check out our website at rsgtn.com.
All right. Thank you so much. And that does it for today's episode of More Financial Talk with our host, Ryan Moore.
Thank you for joining us for More Financial Talk. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact Ryan Moore at Retirement Solutions Group at 615-467-6300 or visit rsgtn.com. Join us again soon for another episode of More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Advisory services are offered by Retirement Solutions Group, Inc., an investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered independently through Ryan Moore and Greg McGee, sole proprietors. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.